Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week's episode of Primates is brought to you by me, Matt Stewart, and my 2020 live comedy show, Monkey House, to the Brisbane Comedy Festival at the Powerhouse from the 10th to the 15th of March. Back home to Melbourne for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival at the Victoria Hotel from the 26th of March to the 19th of April. You can grab tickets now with the discount code PODCAST, and that gets you a real handsome discount via mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs. That's mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs. Now on with the show.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates and popular culture from chimpan A to chimpan Z. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and I'm joined, as always, by the official second banana of the show. It's the host of the Jiminy James Show, Evan Munro-Smith.
Hello.
How's it going? How's the world of Jiminy James?
It's good. It's a quiet time for James. Games, at the moment.
Huh. Forget you say it weird.
But the show's just kicked off. It's going well.
Oh, cool. People should watch it.
Yeah.
Hey, let's invite our guests into the studio.
Into the conversation.
No, they're standing outside. Should we welcome them in?
Can we come in, guys?
So this week on the show, it's returning guest, comedian Ferdy Villamoria.
Oh, man, it's so much nicer in here than it is outside in the corridor.
Yeah. It's so warm in that corridor.
It is.
And it's cool slightly cooler
and pleasant
in here. Well, you've also lost your beard since last time.
I have removed it specifically for this podcast.
Is that since the hallway? Because that might be why you're feeling cooler as well.
I shaved it in the hallway. You guys will have a bit of cleaning up to do.
Okay.
A good dustpan and brush.
Get the vacuum out.
Yeah.
Also joining us in the Monkey House for the very first time, it's Sanspan's radio broadcaster, Zoe Bellotta.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, you're from the hallway.
I saw you out there. Yeah,
Villamoria. Bellotta, any relation?
We are...
You're from the Billy clan.
Mother and father.
Whoa, your mother and father?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Hey, which is which?
So you're married? What? Or no, I'm not that you have to be married to have kids, but you're saying your mother and father to a child, or you just...
To the world.
To each other.
I don't think that far ahead.
Okay.
What are we?
We're mother and father.
Oh, good friends.
How awkward that you're having to make that call on the air.
Wow. We're married.
Are you going official?
I think maybe we're distant cousins or...
Something. I think, coincidentally, our names both start with B.
Yeah.
And read too
and
much
I
into
and
it.
L.
Oh, well, yeah.
Now,
first three letters. No, hold on. I'm into it. I'm back.
Well, how about this? We're both migrants with an uplifting story.
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe. Uh-huh. Maybe.
Can you uplift us with a story real briefly? One sentence?
Came here.
That is beautiful. Yeah. I love a triumphant story. Evan's favourite primate, you might not know this, Zoe, is the human. In particular, Andy from Toy Story. Do you have a primate? Because you're a big primate, non-human primate lover. So you're probably as disgusted as me with that shithouse choice.
Yeah, pick the humans. Pick the worst of the bunch.
Yeah.
The best of the bunch.
I don't have any response to that. Mm-hmm. No, I have this weird way of ranking monkeys and primates. They're all in one category. It's all just kind of general monkey. Big monkeys bad, little monkeys good.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
And then chimpanzees smack bang in the middle, except I fucking hate orangutans.
Wow. Okay. This is all over the shop.
Yeah.
I don't know where to start with
this. There's a lot to unpack here. Little monkeys.
Little monkeys are good. Then you got chimpanzees are in the middle.
That's where I draw the line.
And when you say big monkey, you mean Great apes.
Great apes. Anything bigger than a chimpanzee, I have no time for.
Okay, so humans?
No time.
You got gorillas?
Gorillas.
No time.
Orangutans. No. They're the probably only three bigger. Bonobos are slightly smaller than the common chimpanzee.
Okay.
They're also known as the pygmy chimpanzees.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh,
fuck.
But they're very closely related.
Right.
The bonobos like to bone. And the chimps like to kill.
Ah, I see. Isn't there a large, human-like monkey in Africa that's like
Bigfoot.
Somewhere? Yeah, a Sasquatch, yes. Does that count as a primate? Well, yeah.
Sasquatch, yeah. Sasquatch does. It's a some sort of a human ape man. So I think that does. If anything, it's the most primate.
Animal. A Yeti as well?
A Yeti, yep. Yeti could be definitely one of those. We've never done a Yeti episode. We should. Good
we
point.
Should do.
Thank you so much,
Freddie. Mythical primate episode.
Last time you were here, you talked to us. Was it last time you were here? You talked to us about some sort of a monkey man who was terrorizing an Indian city.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was a wild story. Hope everyone's okay. I haven't thought about it since.
I have thought about it every fucking
but
day.
But I imagine that town probably thinks about it a lot.
Imagine there are murals.
So your system, how does Andy from Toy Story slot into that?
I should point out that Andy is of the smaller end of humans.
Oh, very good point.
Yes.
Being
is
a child.
He smaller than a chimpanzee.
He would be. Child chimpanzee or an adult chimpanzee?
I'll go an adult chimpanzee because the baby version of anything, real good.
Yeah. Baby chimps are, they probably peak in cuteness early, chimpanzees. Yeah.
And then it's all downhill from
which
there.
Is probably like everything. Yeah. Not me. Yeah. I was a super ugly baby. I peaked a couple of years later.
Is that true?
Yeah. I was real hard to look at.
I'm glad that you have that amount of self-awareness because a lot of babies don't.
Yeah, a lot of babies are real dumb.
They've been instilled with all this confidence about how beautiful they are.
Yeah.
Fucking ugly.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. And I think it's about time we started telling them.
Yeah.
No one told me. I just looked in a mirror. So your system has Andy actually pretty favorably.
Yeah.
It's good. It's nice not to be so challenged on this.
Cause
he's good. He's baby cute.
Adam Carnevale is really down his throat whenever he's on. This segment normally goes for about, half an hour?
Just yelling, being like, no.
He's pointing just and yelling. Trying to understand, I think.
Yeah.
And I feel like Adam probably has a really specific, he knows the breed of, the exact
the breed
scientific
of Andy.
Name. No, just of a monkey, because I know I like those little ones with the mustache. That's as good as my monkey knowledge gets.
Oh, yeah, they're cool. There's also
what are they?
White mustache. Mustache monkey, let me look it up. Mustache. Because I'm actually only an amateur primatologist, 30, so.
Yeah, but that's how you learn.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Mustache.
What about that monkey that's got the furry body but completely bald face and head?
I've never heard of this monkey.
Oh,
and
the red head one?
Yeah.
It's the Emperor Tamarin's, the one with the mustache, that fella.
Yes, cute. Probably my favorite.
Yeah, that's a great looking monkey. The bald red-headed one.
Yeah, it's like the vulture version.
Yes. Red head.
That feels really, does it get sunburned?
Maybe that's why. The bald Uakari. Bald Uakari. They're pretty full on looking.
Oh, wow. I don't think I've seen one of those
before. They look like Red Skull.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be really good if we did a monkey version of Captain America.
They've done it. Marvel Comics have done one.
Really?
But I don't know. I wonder if they should have used a Uakari, whatever however you pronounce that, as Red Skull, because I don't know if they went that far.
Hmm.
But Captain America was a gorilla.
That's good. That feels right.
Okay. And I think he was, we did an episode about it, was a while ago, but I think he somehow was replaced by a fake one who was a Nazi or something. It was very complex.
A fake gorilla?
What?
Yeah,
that was also
maybe
a
shape. One of those shapeshifting guys.
They shaved a swastika.
Oh. Bad enough that he's a fake gorilla, but he's a Nazi as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all off topic. Today we're talking about David Lynch's short film, What Did Jack Do? Both Ferdy and Zoe both contacted me and said, we got to talk about this. And I said, I think you're right. I think we do have to talk about this.
It's an important issue that has really been, hasn't made the news. No one's been talking about this.
No, but it has been, it's sort of gotten around the internet a little bit. Very briefly, the storyline, if people haven't seen it off IMDb, it says, in a lockdown train station, a homicide detective conducts an interview with a tormented monkey. And it's as fun as it sounds, I reckon. And Lynch plays the detective. He also directs
it.
A
poor one at that.
He writes it. And I think we think he's the mouth of the monkey as
well.
Yes. How would you describe that's sort of just a superimposed human mouth on a monkey?
Yeah.
Or else that's a weird-looking monkey.
Because, yeah, we don't know for sure. No. It could just be a weird-looking monkey. Shot in black and white. It's an interesting piece. Mm-hmm. Critics seem to like it.
Is it actually shot on film? Because it's got that sort of film grainy
I assume they've
just a digital effect.
Well, maybe.
They just put a filter on it.
I had to ask because I wasn't sure if it was. It looks like it could have been shot 60 years ago or something.
But it was it was released a couple of years ago initially at a film festival and only released this year to Netflix. But I think it was only filmed 4 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, right.
So maybe bought a used a poor quality of film.
He released it originally with his book called Nudes.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you find that little fact out?
I did not find that little fact.
Yep.
The tomatometer.
What?
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yep.
Tomatometer?
Tomatometer.
Yeah, splitometer.
Tomato meter.
It's got 90%.
What?
90%. Critics love it.
Critics love it. It is the kind of thing that critics would love.
Yeah, critics love Lynch.
Yeah.
The audience score, not so high.
Yeah, he can't
72%, still pretty high.
That's not
pretty
too high. Bad.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's just a baffling thing. Here are some snippets of some reviews from Rotten Tomatoes. No more than an exercise in style, but what a distinctive style. It's from Peter Bradshaw in The Guardian.
Fucking Bradshaw.
Miles So from The Ringer says, it's weird as hell, man, and I can't get enough of it.
He sounds like he's explaining a conspiracy
theory. Yeah.
Alonzo Giraldi says, if you're a David Lynch fan, you absolutely need to go see What Did Jack Do? I think that's probably fair. If you like Lynch, you'll probably like this. Do you guys like Lynch?
No.
I don't know the answer to that question.
You've never met him. He could be a nice guy.
I have. He's a jerk. But I recently watched Mulholland Drive for the first time.
Yeah, I watched that last year for the first time as well. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. I did.
But it felt like the end was tacked on, and then I read that it kind of was.
Yeah, okay, is that right?
Yeah.
Because I was trying to deduce what was going down there by the end of it, and we were just like coming up with theories and shit, and it's like everything's right and all if it's wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like, just say you watched a David Lynch film to university students and then it's fine.
I think if you go in knowing not to feel satisfied in the end, you probably have a better time.
Yeah.
The first time I went in and watched one of his things, I was like expecting it all come around and tie back together and it all makes sense in the end, like a normal thing.
Yeah, like any other film that's been made.
Yeah.
No.
So you wanted to talk about this because you hate David Lynch.
Yes.
That's fun.
Do you want a positive review? I can quickly rewrite my notes.
No, not necessarily. When did you first feel this hatred for Lynch?
So I grew up, I watched Twin Peaks as a teenager, but it wasn't until I went to film school that I started hating David Lynch.
Right.
Because that is like, it's always Mulholland Drive. I've never seen in consecutive order. But I have seen all of Mulholland Drive because we would sit there and analyze scene and then a different scene. And then just from 8 years of doing that, I definitely have seen the whole film. Just
probably
out of
makes
order.
More sense to you than
it does. Yeah, because if you sit there and then you study it for 2 hours after a 10-minute scene, then it's quite like fulfilling.
I hardly remember anything about it at all, but I remember being in it. Like I was enjoying it. I was wondering where it was going to go. And then it was like, oh, it didn't really.
It just is.
And then it was over. And I feel nervous about telling the internet that I don't fully get David Lynch.
I'll take that bullet for you. Yeah. I don't understand it and it's confusing.
Yep.
Because David Lynch is, the internet is where he's most loved, I reckon.
Yeah.
The internet is a hotbed for a lot of Lynch
fans. They love Lynch and Keanu Reeves. They're like, we've done it.
And I've got a lot of friends who love him as well. Yeah, I've never fully gotten it.
I managed to get through film school without, I don't think I've seen anything that he's done.
including what did Jack do?
I've seen bits,
yeah,
but it's a lot to take in. Yeah.
You can't watch it in one sitting. 17 whole minutes, including credits.
Down.
Yeah,
Blue Velvet a number of years ago, and that's disturbing and difficult. But I was in there. I was in.
I got recommended Blue Velvet by my uncle.
Yeah,
when I was a teen, he was like, "I saw this movie and thought of you, my 17-year-old niece."
Still talking to this uncle?
Will not anymore, thinking about it now as an adult. But yeah, watch that. Was like, I don't get... Here's my thing with Lynch. If I wanted to be confused, I'd do math.
Hey.
David Lynch movies are like maths.
How much math, though, has a talking monkey? I'd say nearly none of it. None. Some algebra, maybe.
Yeah, but look, I was really anti-Lynch, and then he released this monkey movie, and I was like, hold on, I'm back. I very easily am bought off, and the opening shot, and there's a little monkey in a little suit, and I was like, this, all the awards.
Because you love little monkeys.
I love little monkeys.
So you like, you'd be a big capuchin fan.
Oh, yeah.
So what about the little tiny handheld ones, like Pygmy Marmosets?
Oh, my God. There's that little one at the zoo that's like, by itself, and it just jumps around. And that in itself is really sad, but God, it's so tiny and cute, and I keep trying to figure out ways to put it in my pocket.
How do they make the bars small enough?
I have no idea. The little monkey
How
gel.
Big is it?
It's like that big.
What, hand size?
Yeah, it's just a little bubba, and it just jumps around, and you have to, like, take a minute to, like, look at it. Sorry. I got so excited I started salivating thinking about monkeys.
They are delicious.
What do you think about, like, mice and rats and stuff? Do you like any tiny animals? Or is it's more like human-ish animals,
like,
that are tiny?
Yeah,
like tiny,
I think
it's things like paper clips and
razors,
buttons.
No, I think the thing is, like, monkeys can be so big, the idea of seeing a tiny one I'm very excited about. So, like, if there were, like, mini versions of normal-sized things, I enjoy.
Baby
like
carrots.
Baby carrots, great. Human babies, pretty big fan of.
Okay.
Those little mini pigs that don't turn out to be real pigs. It just turns out they're piglets.
What about baby mini pigs?
Oh, so little. So little. I just want to, like, put it in my pocket. But the problem is they grow huge. They grow, like,
pigs
are big, and even mini pigs are big. And that's how Jackson got ball cancer.
What?
Because a mini pig stepped on his testicle.
You've sort of skipped a couple of bits of this story.
No, that's the story.
Jackson. From Sans Pants.
From Sans Pants.
Jackson
Radio.
Bailey.
Jackson
Previous
Bailey.
Guests on the show multiple times.
Yes.
One of our favourites.
If
he had one of his balls stepped on by a pig.
Yes.
And that gave him cancer.
That gave him cancer.
Really?
Yes.
When so did this happen?
That's the. Oh, I think that's one of the. That,
like 8 years ago?
Jesus.
I'd say that's wilder than What Did Jack Do as a story.
Yeah. If you have a pig-based podcast, we'll come in and tell this story.
Well, I'm ready to start one.
Wow.
Oinky. Oinky boys. Okay.
Okay.
Oinky boys, would you be a guest?
Yeah, I would come and I would tell, because Jack hates telling this story because he's so sick of it and I think it's so funny.
I've never heard it.
I didn't know that was possible.
I didn't realize that. So you get
that's
cancer
a weird
from
link, yeah.
having...
So there's a type of testicular cancer that comes from trauma.
Really?
So there's two types. There's one that just naturally occurs and one that that is caused by trauma. So you have the cell in your balls and trauma causes it to activate and turn
into cancer.
So
everyone's got a cancer cell ready to go.
Pretty much, yeah.
So you could give someone cancer by just getting
a pig.
You
just kick them in the balls enough.
Oh, you don't even have to get a pig.
You get a pig.
So the pig's not necessary.
The pig was the insane part of the story. Is that, no, he had a pet pig and they lived out in St. Andrews, and when there was a fire warning one day, they tried to get the pig in the car and the pig was, like, freaking out, like, stomped on Jackson's testicle.
Okay.
And then, like, 2 days later, he was like, hey, my balls swelled up to the size of a grapefruit. And we're like, go to the doctor.
Grapefruit is big.
That's
very
big. Huge.
Pretty big.
That's
ball.
Even a baby grapefruit, that's big.
Look, a lemon is too big, an orange is too big. Really, what you want is a lychee.
Even, yeah, lychee maybe. Walnut.
Yeah,
you know?
Tiny, tiny.
I'll never look at lychees the same.
Well, no, they're soft on the inside.
They were balls, I'm lying.
They are very ball like.
Yeah, they are.
The spikes are what really gets you there.
Wow, that is a story.
Yeah, next time he's on, get him. He fucking hates telling the story, and I do it every party we go to. I'm like, Jackson, because I'll be drunk as shit, and I'll be like, Jackson, tell these people we've never met before this story about your cancer. And he's like, no. And I'm like, do it. And then eventually I'll wear him down and he'll be like, it's illegal to own a tortoise in Australia. And then he'll do his little...
Wait, what? Where did the tortoise
back it up.
Come in there?
It's illegal to own it. I will tell... This is Jackson Bailey's Tight Five and I will just reiterate it back to you. It's illegal to own a tortoise in Australia. So Jackson, my dumbass friend, decides, well, I can't own a tortoise. I want to own another weird animal. What can I get? So he goes on like Craigslist and he finds some dude selling a pig. And he's like, fuck yeah, I'm going to own this.
Is this in America?
Well, I guess the gum tree would be the Australian equivalent. Or he goes online and he finds this pig. And so he's like, I'm going to buy this pig. And he goes to the house and it is two stoners. And the stoner who owned the pig is like, hey, I bought this for my girlfriend so we would stay together. But we've broken up and now I'm stuck because it gets
better and better. This should be a film. Let's make this a short film.
Fuck yeah.
I think Michael Shanks is going to, we're talking in talks with it. Michael Shanks is going to direct it, which
is
fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah. So pretty much stoner has his pig. Pigs apparently attached to the first person that owns them. So this pig only wanted to belong to this girlfriend that we'd never met. So it hated the dude that owned it. And then Jackson got it and he hated him.
Right.
The pig was called Ninja. Ninja hated Jackson with a passion. But Jackson loved him more than anything in the world. So Jackson, he gets his pig, he makes a little pen, he's having the best time with it. Yeah, there's a big fire warning one day and they have to evacuate. And so he's like, all right, time to all the animals and the family to get in the car. So it's like the family dog, his brother's like three snakes, plus the pig.
Every sentence.
Yeah.
No more questions. You keep trying to explain, but I'm just like every sentence, I've got two more questions.
We'll leave questions till the end and then you guys can bust them out and I'll try my best to answer them. But yeah, so the pig freaks out, steps on his testicle. Yeah, and then like a couple days later.
That's such a precision trot.
Yeah, it's like trotted down on the ball. And he was like, ow, I hate this pig. I'm sure with more gravitas than what I'm giving it right now, I've never been kicked in the balls or stepped on by a pig's trotter, so I don't know.
Okay.
Need to pull from experience as an actor. Yeah, and then he got cancer, and then he had to go get his testicle removed.
Like basically immediately got cancer.
Pretty much within a week he'd been diagnosed. Wow. Oh, and the dumbass, this isn't part of his type 5, this is just my complaint as his friend, sent us all a group message to let us know that he had cancer, but at no point in the message did he say the word cancer, so we just were confused for a bit.
Right.
He's like, hey, guys, I'm going to have to take some time off school for a little bit because I'm, you know, a bit sick. And anyway, I'm going to have to go get some surgery, get my ball removed, and then go do some chemo. And we're like, chemo? Why are you doing chemo? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to do a Make-A-Wish Foundation, you know, some benefits. And we were like, Jackson, what's happening?
How old was he at this point?
We would have been 19, 20.
Right.
Wow. They were quite young. Anyway, the pig got donated to a farm and then Jackson got told that it got injected with a special dye that makes it not eatable, and then it got sent to another farm because it bit a kid. Like you can't eat him anymore.
Oh, edible. Okay. I thought somehow the injection meant that he was before that he was eating bulls.
No,
leaving a path of destruction.
I reckon in any other story, I would have understood what you meant because anything goes in this one that I heard eatable. I assumed your man eatable.
He's constantly nipping at their heels. No, it's this little asshole pig and he bit a kid. He was at the farm in the one near Latrobe Uni. He was in that big farm and it bit a kid and they were like, well, we can't have this aggressive pig at this petting zoo. So they were like, they told Jackson that they had injected it with a special formula that meant the pig can't be eaten by people to make sure that it stayed a pet.
Right.
And then they sent it to a farm and Jackson was like, that's a lie. That's a lie that you tell children. But then like 4 years later found out it was true and that it's like living its best life on this farm.
Good.
It's a happy ending.
Wow. So unlike a David Lynch film, this one comes around.
And ties itself a cute little bow.
Yeah. Love that. Do you want me to go through a little article about this film here?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you can tell me about your individual thoughts because you've all brought notepads, which I love. Students of film.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So this is from polygon.com and it's called, the article's called Twin Peaks Creator David Lynch Interrogates a Monkey in Netflix Short Film. I love a headline that is basically a paragraph explaining nearly everything.
Yeah.
There was so much information in that.
You don't need more of a review.
Yeah. 4 stars. It's David Lynch's birthday. The renowned artist turned 74 on Monday. Okay, so this is from January 20. So only a few weeks, 3 weeks ago.
Huh. Happy birthday, David Lynch.
I think we can still say that three weeks later.
That's still good.
Happy birthday, David. So it says, it's David Lynch's birthday, but we're the ones who got a gift. I hate it already. The latest arrival on Netflix is a 17-minute short film called What Did Jack Do? That was written, directed, and edited by Lynch. Netflix lists What Did Jack Do? Under the genres dramas, crime dramas, mysteries, and experimental movies, and describes it as offbeat and cerebral. Is it cerebral?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Makes you think.
Yeah.
If it helps, I can lay out the basic premise for you. A detective, played by Lynch, grills a suit wearer. Although we didn't mention that either. The monkey's wearing a suit.
He's wearing a suit. It's real important.
Cute. That is important.
A detective grills a suit-wearing capuchin monkey suspected of murder, a crime for which the train station where the interrogation takes place has been put on lockdown. The film's black and white look, with dirt and grain in the image, brings to mind Lynch's first feature, 1977's Eraserhead, which I haven't seen, but in a bunch of different reviews, they all mention that it...
It looks like that.
It looks like it. And they all say Eraserhead's a masterpiece.
It's something. I saw about 10 minutes of it.
All right. Something.
I saw a bit of it in film school, but that's it.
You said you got away with not seeing any Lynch in film school.
I
knew you couldn't have got away with it.
I was given a clip from Eraserhead for a sound design class. I don't think it really counts.
Okay.
I feel like you get a lot of David Lynch. You get like Day of the Locust and then like maybe like The Big Short. No, what's the one I'm thinking of? The one with Jeff Goldblum. The Big Chill. Big Chill. Those are like the three cinema student bullshit things that you have to sit through.
Yeah, right.
I didn't get any of that. I think my lecturer just showed me his own films.
Your lecturer?
What, home movies?
No. Well, he was a director. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is my wife his, and her 30th birthday.
His teacher
birthday.
Was Ron Howard. So he learned a lot. He learned a lot. Apollo 13, whatever that film was. So the review goes on. While all of that is true, that's going off the cerebral offbeat and all that sort of stuff. While all of that is true, it fails to encapsulate the essence of this bizarre work. Lynch puts the screws to the monkey, and the monkey returns fire with plenty of sass. Okay. Credited as Jack Cruz playing himself. The primate speaks through an unnerving visual effect similar to Synchrovox, which you may know better from that old late night with Conan O'Brien bit in which Conan interviewed celebrities like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Does that help you guys?
Yeah.
It doesn't appear to be a CG monkey, though. Bob Dunn's Animal Services is listed in the credits as providing animal trainers for the production.
Yeah, that's a real capuchin.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. It's a great performance, but it's always a bit sad to see real primates on the screen.
I wonder if that's David Lynch's monkey. No, it wouldn't be. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, well, he's provided everything else, hasn't he?
Like, sure. Yeah.
Like, he's done everything else, basically. But there is one other actor one other human actor, and Zoe, you were saying it's his wife.
Yes.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Plays the waitress who brings in a coffee.
Yeah. So it was this really weird... What I heard was that this was something David Lynch did like as an exercise for himself.
Right.
Pretty much. That's why it's like really kind of family-based. So that's why I think...
So the monkey was him and it was really him fucking all those chickens.
It's David Lynch telling us he fucks chickens.
Yeah. Okay. So this is him letting out the truth.
Mm-hmm. And that's your film fucking degree right there.
Yeah. This is how you get to the top. I fucked a lot of cock to get where I am.
Yeah.
Cock's another word for chicken.
That's very good.
Yeah. And as a regurgitator song, sucked a lot of cock.
Yeah.
Which I could have just said that.
He could have done as well.
Yeah.
Mm. But then you'd be sucking the entire body off the animal you're making love
to. So, I mean, it's either way, it's very clever. Very clever.
I like where he went with that.
Yeah. Here's a sample of the tough-talking dialogue straight out of the noir genre. Okay, so this is a little clip, which Evan, we just heard before. Jack. So Jack... is the monkey.
Yes.
Jack, you're a strong-armed man, detective. You could say that, Jack. I just did, detective. Well, there is no Santa Claus, Jack. I won't be here for Christmas. So it's gibberish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense.
No.
I imagine they just had to work with whatever the monkey said. Piece it together.
That makes sense. I didn't consider that. So Jack said, I won't be here for Christmas. And Lynch is like, fuck, how do I make that work? Well, there is no Santa Claus. That, okay. That does make sense. Because it's a lot of cliches.
Yeah.
A big chunk of the script is just cliches back and forth that are loosely connected thematically to the line before, but not really. Yeah. And it's sort of eventually kind of, you understand what's going on. He's accusing him of killing a chicken, but it takes a while to even realize that that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Their back and forth is full of non sequiturs. I've not said that right, as you can see. And I'm still not quite sure exactly what the plot is, except that it involves a murder, interspecies love, and a veritable zoo's worth of animals. Bracket. Although Jack and a fetching hen named Tutabon are the only ones we actually see. Close bracket. The only person in What Did Jack Do aside from the detective is a waitress played by Emily Stoffel, an actress who is also Lynch's wife. And the film...
How did she get that role?
I imagine there was probably a pretty long audition process.
Yeah.
And the film features a song, True Love's Flame, written by Lynch and longtime collaborator Dean Hurley. This all combines to be, well, it's a lot. Yeah. While What Did Jack Do just debuted on Netflix, it's not new per se. The very end of the credit says 2016, Absurdia, the year of the monkey. Absurdia is listed as a David Lynch company, apparently named after a 2007 short film of his, and 2016 was indeed the year of the monkey in the Chinese calendar. What Did Jack Do? Premiered in November 2017 at... Oh, this is French. Any of you speak a bit of en français?
No, no, I'm different type of ethnic.
Well, I'll have a go. At Fondation Cartier Bresson.
Perfect.
Contemporain. A modern art museum in Paris.
Okay.
That also produced the short film. It looks like if it was phonetic, it would be Fondation Cartier Pour l'Art Contemporain, a modern art museum in Paris. And what I just did then was probably offensive, but I'd like to call it a Lynchian bit of art.
Mm.
Baffling.
And it's surreal.
Surreal. Cerebral. And it turned out that Lynch was working on it as early as 2014 when he was already in the midst of pre-production on his third season of Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks I really liked.
Never watched it.
I never got past the first season.
I don't think I ever got to the end. And I haven't watched the third season, but I liked it while I was watching it.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's the epitome of Lynch. I think it's a really nice introduction to it.
Yeah.
Because it's so drawn out, you're like, hopefully we'll get an answer.
Yes.
Hopefully. And then it's three seasons of crazy.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think he sets up the intrigue really well.
Mm.
I'm a basic type who needs resolution.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I'm a basic bitch. Like, put everything, nice little bow, let me understand what's happening.
Yeah.
Let me walk away being like, I understood.
Thank you. Spoon feed me, Lynchy, please. Mush it up in a little pieces. I can't chew good. He hinted at the project in a December 2014 interview with The Guardian saying, I love to build things and this is for a monkey film. Okay.
What did he build?
I don't know. What was it?
I guess it would have had to be the set.
Yeah, a table and two chairs.
Just in front of a wall.
But it's like a weird chair behind the monkey, maybe? I don't know. There's a weird visual there.
Yeah, maybe he built the weird chair.
Maybe. Maybe he doesn't mean literally build things.
It does say Lynch is also credited for set design and set construction.
Oh, so it did mean literally.
He continued, I'm working with a monkey named Jack, and that'll come out sometime. It is not a chimpanzee. The monkey came up from South America.
So the monkey flew in.
They finished the article saying, glad that settled then. That is funny. Yeah, it's like even in his interviews, it's like, that must have been taken out of context, right? Did they say, do you mean chimpanzee? It's not a chimpanzee. The monkey came up from South America. Okay. Anyway, see you later, David Lynch.
Any interviewer just in the middle of the interview, just like, what the fuck are you doing and talking about?
They are weird chairs.
They love
Explain
them.
Yourself.
Look at these chairs.
Yeah.
I reckon he built those himself.
Yeah, I think that's. I think chairs, I did yeah. read something. He did yeah. build those.
Yeah, it is. A, even the set is surreal.
There's probably some meaning there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so. But so.
It's not like I studied film, so.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you two film studiers
yes.
studied Lynch, which you didn't, Evan.
Yeah,
so
that's
Zoe,
right.
did your teachers try to explain meaning behind his work, or were they no. just like, the meaning is there's no meaning?
Yeah, pretty much. I think Lynch himself is very much like, you take away whatever you want from it, which I hate, but that's cool. So pretty much, yeah, his whole thing is like, once as soon as I make the film, it is there for the public to interpret however they wish to.
I like that as an idea if there's some, like, you've, yeah. I just well, like it's, them it's to like, have done a little bit more of the work so we can meet in the middle.
Yeah.
It just
yeah.
feels like we're meeting on his side.
And it's like his brain is so nonsensical because, like, every interview I've seen with him or anyone that I've seen talk about him is like, oh, yeah, he's fucking insane.
Right.
Like, good fucking luck. Right. And we all just keep giving this man money to keep making films yeah. that don't make sense.
He's so cool looking though. How
he's
great's
so cool.
his hair?
Oh, he's yeah. so cool.
Fuck, he's so cool.
It's like he saw a race ahead and was like, hold on.
The one little snippet of a splat review on Rotten Tomatoes comes from Now Toronto writer Norman Wilner. I haven't read this yet. Let's see. He says, it is all very silly. It will be embraced as a puckish masterwork from a beloved cultural figure. And sure, what the hell? Why not? Look, I don't know what to tell you.
That's a great review.
That is a great review.
Thank God.
That's
it
so
me.
Perfect.
I
love it.
Don't
That's
ask me.
Fantastic. And he's right. It will be seen as a masterwork. And sure, what the hell? Why not? I don't know what to tell you.
Sounds like he's ending his relationship with film.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Fuck this.
Yeah, whereas others are like, it's weird, I don't know what to tell you. I love it.
Yeah.
One thing, can I just say, Lynch's lips look better on the monkey than they do on him.
They work on that monkey.
100%. Especially that bottom one.
That monkey's eyes as well, fantastic.
Very cute. Very kind of sad? I don't yes, know, there's some depth.
Yeah. They have a distance to
I actually think the monkey
thinking
was...
thinking South America.
fuck. That says that. But the monkey's... I reckon acting was probably better than Lynch's.
Yeah.
Face, like the eyes did more and stuff like that.
Mm.
Even though I guess it probably wasn't acting.
No.
It was just genuinely sad to be there.
A little bit confused.
Yeah.
Because they do tend to just follow him around. Like they don't, it doesn't seem like he's necessarily like an acting monkey. If
right.
that makes sense. Like, you know, the ones in The Hangover and stuff like that. That like,
yeah.
Trained.
Also Capuchins,
yeah, yeah.
I think.
Yeah. yeah.
Like this one just kind of seems real confused because you can tell that with the CGI, they're just following him around.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, how do we put the lips on this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Side head. Do you want to go through some of your more studious notes as an academic, Zoe? Do you want to tell us why this film's a masterwork?
Yes. No. Yes. No, I think it's very Lynchian. I think there's no other way to describe it. Like, I think as soon as Lynch started making film, we were like, oh, that's a new way to do things.
Right. Which is cool, and I guess that's one of the reasons he has so much attention.
Yeah. It's always really nice, like, when you see auteurs kind of make a voice for themselves that is completely their own. And we see it with, like, Tarantino and other... like
Ron
Scorsese.
Howard.
Yeah, Ron, a classic auteur.
Spielberg.
Tarantino is probably the best example to be like, you know, a Tarantino film
yeah.
only if you see 2 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And David Lynch
very
is
very distinctive.
Yeah, very distinctive. And David Lynch is one of those. And I think watching this, like, I was excited because I was like, what fresh hell is this? And it's David Lynch, you know, it's got that dream logic that he has, that he loves, that he thrives in. And then it's also got that like weird 1950s America that he loves, like his suburbia thing. And this is like reminiscent of noir and setting it in a train station and just having it in this tiny little box and being like, we'll talk about, instead of doing it visually, we're going to talk about suburbia and life, like in the dialogue. So that is that. And then all I written down was, what's wrong with chickens?
How, I mean, yeah, the mechanics of it. How's this monkey fucking a chicken? It doesn't feel right.
No, because they only got one hole, so.
Cloacas.
Oh.
There we go.
Forgot about that. Yeah, well, I guess we know exactly how it happened.
There are a lot of options.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice, chickens. Yeah. Is it because maybe he had a chicken on his property?
I guess so. It feels so...
Called Tutankhamun?
Tatooine.
Toots McGooten.
I think because he wanted to throw the line in, feel those full breasts.
Right. And birds of a feather flock together. There's a lot of bird cliches
there. Yeah. There was another one that he mentioned. It's all right.
Almost wonder if that, maybe it was they were riffing or something. Him and the monkey were sitting there riffing and it came out of that. I wonder how much of this was written.
And how much of it was ad-libbed.
Like Evan said, you just got to follow the monkey's lead. It was a joke before when I said Ron Howard's an auteur. I don't want Zoe to think that he's kind of the opposite of one, right?
And I'll never come here again.
I think I've heard him say that he's more of a chameleon.
Which is a different, still an amazing skill, just a different skill.
Yeah.
No offense, Ron Howard.
Oh.
None taken, for sure.
Offense was taken. It's a Ron Howard thing. Yeah, you see what I did there. Very good stuff.
Very good.
What did you think, Ferdy?
I've got some fun little notes that I made. My favorite part of this, it was in the credits. Jack Cruz, the monkey. Also, where's the last name from? but also
Penelope?
Oh.
Tom?
Cruz, C-R-U-Z, so more the Penelope. Yeah, Penelope.
Yeah.
Oh, he is South American.
She isn't? Isn't she Spanish?
I don't know.
Whoa.
Who Penelope Cruz
should we be talking about this?
Penelope Cruz, isn't she Tom Cruise's ex? No,
it's spelled differently.
Yeah, but I think they're still dated.
Really?
Didn't they?
That'd be annoying. Great.
Oh, if I made annoying. But she's also...
two different opinions on the same thing. They're like, my brain hates it.
She's quite a famous actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
Or actress.
Wait, you just said you don't know who she is.
I don't, but I know she's famous. How else would I know her name? I don't know the names
that is
of
very
people
confusing.
Who aren't famous.
I don't know her. I know that she's famous.
I can't picture her. I can't say. I couldn't tell you anything that she's in.
She looks like Selma Hayek, but not, like, more pointy.
She's a pointy Selma Hayek.
Yeah.
She's Spanish.
Oh, yeah. And I know her.
Yeah. You know her because she's been in
she's a like
heap
a
of hit
female
films.
Adrian Brody.
Yeah, okay. Very all right. Pointy, yes.
Rhinoceros. It's my favorite line of his.
Anyway, the monk Jack Cruz's wardrobe was designed by Pampered Primates. There is a company out there.
Yeah. Make you feel good or bad?
It's good.
Couldn't tell.
There's someone out
took
there.
Took a second.
Do you think that these primates are feeling pampered when they're made to wear human clothes?
I think abused is not a strong enough word.
As a clothing brand, abused primates probably
streetwear.
Wouldn't do as
it's
good a
streetwear.
Business. Yeah.
Do you think monkeys want to look good?
I think they want to look good, but I don't think their idea of looking good is a tuxedo.
Okay.
That's probably just like having all the bugs picked out of their back.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, by one of their friends.
Fair enough.
That's how they bond. That's how they bond.
How they make friends.
They tickle. Have you seen that video?
No.
Chimps tickling each other, and that's like a thing, a bonding thing.
Oh.
It's beautiful.
It's like
they're like hairy humans.
Yeah. I'm like one of them too.
I also am one of them, less than I used to be, but still primate. What else was I going to say? There's There's one line in the film where David, the detective, asks the monkey one question, and the monkey goes, "Well, this conversation just came to a screeching halt." And then he just continues answering questions. Fucking weak monkey. Like, no willpower. Like, that was the point for it to walk out of the room.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't forced to be there, but then he just continues. Yeah. And that disappointed me the most out of this movie.
Just wanted it to abruptly end.
I wanted a headstrong monkey. Like, there was something going on.
No commitment.
So the back and forth went on for the majority of the film was them just one line each.
Yeah.
Then how did they get it? Because I watched it a week or so ago when we were initially meant to record before you had a plumbing issue, Ferdy. I shouldn't bring this onto the podcast. And I regret it instantly.
Yep. So would you like me to tell me what the plumbing issue was?
No. Well, no. I don't think so. No,
house plumbing, not human plumbing.
No, yeah, house plumbing, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to remember, how did they get into the song?
I can't remember. You
watched it like an hour ago.
I still don't know
There's
how
no logic
they
to it.
Right. I think there was a moment where he was starting to answer the questions somewhat fucking rationally, and he was starting to... And also, who's Shelby with the advanced stages of gonorrhea? There was an orangutan referred to in this story
Someone who really dislikes orangutans, I feel it because there's another line that's like, oh, who's going to believe an orangutan? And I was like, yeah, fuck those people.
Orangutans are such gentle giants.
No, this is, all right.
Is it their big flanges? Their faces look like big dinner plates.
It's not even that. It is the dumbest reason. But the reason I hate orangutans with a passion is because there was an insurance company that did an ad when I was about like 14, 15 with a sexy orangutan.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Well, to me, is there any other company?
It was like, yeah, no, this human orangutan hybrid, and I've never been able to forget it, and I hate it.
Okay.
With such a passion, and now that has transferred onto other orangutans.
You know, a human made that up.
I know. And that's why they're really in the bad pile. Okay. That's why they're in the bad pile.
A big human.
Big human bad, little human good.
Yeah, that's definitely an adult human's idea.
I think so.
Sorry, Ferdy, I cut you off there.
Oh, no, you didn't cut me off at all. This is a strong discussion that I wanted about these points. And the one fucking quote the monkey made was, "Love is like a banana." Sorry, love is like a banana.
Mics work better when you speak into them, Ferdy.
Love is like a banana, sweet with a golden hue.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Is it, though?
No.
Is it? Are we eating love? Is that what we're doing?
Yes. What do you do to love? Save it for later.
Sip it and hold on to it.
You're one of those kids who just keeps your chocolate Easter eggs in the fridge for weeks, so I can tell. Eat that love.
Shove it in me gob.
I keep the chocolate too. So.
Yeah, you look after it.
You can't have it all at once.
You know, spread that joy.
Also, you can buy the music. I read that. You can buy the song on 7-inch.
Thank God.
Really?
Or on Bandcamp.
Wow.
Yeah, on you can have the soundtrack to this movie on vinyl.
You'd have to be a big fan.
You'd have to be a big fan.
It's almost like you'd have to dedicate a large portion of your life to primates to buy that.
Yes. Well, if there are any big primate lovers out there, maybe you should... I don't know is this the kind of thing that they would want to buy? Because
I was referring to you.
The most primate-y thing out there in that film is visual.
That is true.
So I think the songs probably take a lot of that away. I'd just get a picture of an orangutan, put it on the wall. If I was them.
Sexy orangutan.
With human lips?
With human lips, yeah. Sexy. Sexy human lips.
Have we talked about the monkey's voice?
No, we haven't.
It's weird.
It's slightly sped up or slowed down.
Yeah, I think it's pitched down, yeah.
I feel like it sounds like a boss in a 1990s video game. That's what it sounds like.
Slightly slurry.
Yeah, really weird. And we're assuming it's David Lynch
who is
voicing that.
Yeah, that I remember reading somewhere, but could be wrong.
I haven't read that confirmed, but it seems like it.
Yeah.
And Zoe's read like him, it though. Confirmed.
No, it does. It sounds like someone doing a bad impersonation of Lynch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It feels like, because the production of it was so insular, it would seem weird to go get someone else to dub it.
And then, like, change that, like, warp the voice.
Yeah.
To make it sound different.
Yeah, it makes it sound... Well, it's either that or, like Evan said, it was actually Jack Cruz's voice.
Yeah. Could be. Makes the song pretty weird to listen to as well.
Yeah. Yeah, which is sort of fun. I like that kind of surreal...
Yeah, like absurd stuff is fun, but it doesn't really... I like there to be a bit more sensible story to something.
Yeah, yeah. I think it sounds like we're all pretty similar on that one.
It can't just be weird. It's like not enough for me.
If it was like this super serious kind of like take on noir where there just happened to be like a monkey that you're interviewing and then just having this one really out of place, absurd musical number, you'd be like, oh, yeah, no, I love this.
Yeah.
I love this. Like that, it's not Lynchian at all, but like that as a...
That's what you love about it.
Yeah. Like, not at all David Lynch's bullshit.
Yeah, because it's like it's... Not even like a satire of film noir, really. It's just that style. It doesn't play off any of the other sort of stereotype. Well, no, it feels like it's just a visual reference.
Because I thought thematically, like, I started looking to see if, like, because the dialogue was so nonsensical, if they were, like, iconic lines from noir films.
Right, yeah.
And, like, I was like, that's fucking genius, and then I researched it and it wasn't. I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, because when it doesn't make sense like that, you're like, oh, what is it? They've cut and pasted this from somewhere.
Yeah.
What's going on here? But it's like, oh, nothing's going on. And that's what's going on. That's the genius of it. Nothing.
Nothing.
It's the bad. That's the point.
It's just, fuck. God, it was annoying to watch.
Well, maybe with that passion that you're feeling, do you want to give it a score? How many bananas? How big's your bunch of bananas for starters?
I'm gonna have like a 7 bunch of bananas.
That's what you would normally purchase?
Yeah, because that's a banana a day.
I'm a 7 bunch guy too.
That makes sense. But I'm gonna give it 2.
I'll give it two out of seven.
Because A, Monkey in Suit gets a whole banana.
Yep.
And 2, like visually it didn't suck, but
how ripe are those bananas?
You need to eat them in 2 days.
Okay. Quick.
Yeah, quick.
Or I never look back.
You got banana bread.
And don't think about it too much.
No, it's like you're looking at them and you're like, I should have eaten those last week. Fuck.
How about you, Ev?
I'd give it like 3 out of 7. It's all right. I what I like about it is that he did it himself. This is a little personal project.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a bit weird, but he just did it for him. Managed to sell it to Netflix. Great. Good on you.
Yeah.
I would love it if my little personal projects got global recognition.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
Would you love that? Okay.
Actually, probably not. Probably not.
Some 4 dorks, like, unpacking it on a podcast. That's the kind of thing you'd love?
Yeah.
Why not? Fuck not.
What kind of banana score are you giving it?
That's a 3, mate.
3, yeah. I'm 3 out of 7, too.
Yeah.
It's like something about it.
Yeah.
But it's also like it's not satisfying and enough.
Yeah. To give it a large amount of shitness to it.
Yeah. But, you know, edible. And it's, you know, probably the best thing about it was only 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
it is the best
40
part.
Minutes or something, or imagine a feature.
When I first tried to watch it, I was watching it with my 2 housemates, and 7 minutes in, they're both pretty much simultaneously, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Let's turn this shit off. And I'm like looking at it, I'm like, fuck, we're already halfway. Let's give it another 8 minutes. There's so many critical plot points to come. Yeah. And probably. Was I kind of right?
Do any of you see any of yourself in the Jack character? Because we do, Zoe, we share about 99%, 99% DNA with the chimpanzee. Mm. Do you see any of yourself
as a percentage?
I do look
good in a little suit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's a big part of your personality.
Yeah, so I have a lot of cute in a suit.
Yep, cute in a suit. Jeez, even the phrase is a cute thing. Cute in a suit. Ev, do you see anything of yourself in there?
No, I'm trying to
love
see what
chicken?
I have.
You love
no,
eating
I've
chicken?
Never had I've never had sex with a chicken, but I like eating chicken.
Yet.
Are you right? Yes.
I reckon eating and sexing, it's not that far off.
No, they're the same thing.
Some going into a hole, some going into a hole.
All right.
You're one step away, Ev. Just be careful.
I don't see much of myself in this. No. I'm afraid.
Yeah, I felt I liked him, but
yeah, he's
fine.
His eyes are adorable.
Yeah, something about him. How about you, Ferb? Ferberger?
who are you, my mum? I don't know. People tell me I've got a large mouth.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's superimposing. Yeah, you do have a large one.
Wow.
Yeah, I can almost fist my I can literally almost fist my mouth.
And you've got big hands too. Yeah. No, I say you better go with big hands.
So
struggles to fist mouth.
And I'm sure that monkey can fist his mouth. So
yeah, little tiny,
especially tiny that giant hands. Mouth, human mouth he's got
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Fit
both hands in.
So that's there's a bit there.
But and my outfit is also designed by Pampered Primates too. So that's where
I looked at your shirt just in case. Could it be? Well, that brings us to the point of the episode where we thank a few patrons. You can support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/dogonpod, supporting this show as well as Do Go On podcast, which this week is about, I recorded it last night. I wrote a report. I spent days working on it. Oh, it was about a guy called Felice. Oh, what's his fucking name? Jesus, give me 1 second, please. Felice Banuzzi. He was an Italian prisoner of war in Africa, in Ethiopia in the 40s, and he plotted to escape to climb a mountain. Pretty interesting story. So that came out yesterday if people are curious. Ooh. Also supports Book Cheat, which I'm on this week, where Dave talks about Tale of Two Cities, classic novel, which I didn't know anything about before being on there. And Listen Now, which is a podcast about Cold Chisel. Anyway, you support all of those, but one of the rewards you get is on this show, I'll shout you out and read out something that you wrote that I don't read until I read it on the show. But it's normally about a primate or something, I think is what I asked you to do. So firstly, thank you, Odie Matthews, for your support. Odie writes, and feel free to comment on this if you want to. Mm-hmm. I strongly believe King Kong is the best primate that's ever lived or will live.
Too big.
That would be your least favorite primate.
I was like, no. So then everyone's like, no, maybe he's all right. And like, put him back on the island.
Imagine, even as a baby, he would have been huge.
Too big. Yeah. It would have been, oh,
Does a baby King Kong to you seem like cute because it's comparatively?
It's comparatively cuter than an adult King Kong.
But it's basically just a gorilla. So yeah. Even as a baby, it's a big gorilla.
It's still
gorilla.
It's too big.
Mm. I don't know how King Kong originated. Maybe it was, was it a mutant or was it born that way?
I don't know.
Where are the King Kong parents?
Maybe Godzilla fucked a man.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Sorry.
Thank you, Odie. Thank you, Odie, for taking us there. I'd also love to thank Rene Lazar, who writes, or Rene Lazar. One of my favorite primates is the librarian from Terry Pratchett's Discworld. He was a human that got turned into an orangutan. Oh, no, Zoe.
Sorry.
And then realized being an orangutan was better than being a human and refused being changed back. I wonder what Evan has to say about that. Have you ever read any of the Discworld novels?
No.
I've read a couple of them a while back.
I can't imagine what they would prefer about being an orangutan. I guess you can swing better.
Yeah.
Longer arms.
Basically, all of a sudden you've got four arms. We've already got four arms, but... And have more arms.
Yes.
You could eat your cereal from your mate's face. They've got like bowl faces.
Right.
I think it's more bowl because it kind
bowl,
of...
Bowl, yeah, it sort of wads out a bit.
Yeah.
And that's only the males as they get older get that.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah, you're not born with it. It's you grow older and sort of, yeah.
And that makes them the alpha?
Yeah, it's kind of like the silverback gorillas. Oh. Only the older males have the silverbacks.
Holy shit.
Apparently, okay. I think. I hope I haven't fucked that up.
You're the expert, man.
You're
looking
to you. You're
going to
get some orangutan letters, mate.
I hope so. what do you say about that, Evan?
I don't know. I'd be interested to see what the rationale is there.
Yeah, maybe it's because expectations are different. All of a sudden, you're very impressive as a librarian if you're an orangutan.
Well, yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, this...
That'd be fun. Yeah. I think you'd be popular.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it.
So much so that it's Renee's favourite primate, or one of her favourite primates. Thank you so much, Renee. I'd also love to thank Matilde. Fuck, I've said your name before. Why am I blanking on that, Ferdy? Matilde McInnes? Oh, I've said both of those wrong.
Yes.
No, that's right.
Is there an E on the end, Matilda?
Yeah, it's an E in the end.
Oh, maybe it is Matilde.
No, yeah.
Is it Matilda or just Matilde? I'm not
It'd
sure.
It'd be Matilde.
Matilde. Okay. Matilde McInnes. Right, my favourite primate is the bonobo from Come From Away.
Oh, I haven't seen Come From Away.
No, it's a musical.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And there's a bonobo in it. Someone suggested I should do an episode on it, but I can't afford going to a musical. Musicals are expensive.
It was playing in Melbourne. I thought I heard it was really good, so I wanted to go.
Yeah, my folks went and saw it and said it was really good. But then the only other person I heard who saw it said they hated it.
Oh, really?
They didn't know what it was about going in, and they hated every minute.
It's about 9/11, right?
Yeah.
Different time.
Yeah. I guess, you know, it's a musical that could only happen in a post-9/11 world in a way. You know, the world did change when those towers came down.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mathilde. And finally, I'd love to thank Cody Kelshaw, who writes, "My favorite primate might just be Evan Munro Smith. He is a great example of standing up for what you believe in. The fact that he continually champions Andy from Toy Story as his favorite primate, despite the constant criticism and alternate suggestions, is inspiring. Sure, his choice may not make any sense, especially since there are hundreds of primates better than a pair of animated legs, but the resolve must be commended."
What's this person's name?
Cody.
Oh, thanks, Cody.
Cody, fantastic.
I think it's just stubbornness. There.
Yeah, you are one of the more stubborn people I know, I reckon.
To a fault.
Yeah. But also, like, I think it helps with you in work sometimes as well.
Maybe.
I think you're not always stubborn. But
I don't think of myself as a stubborn person. It's just when I get a point like this.
You do, if you hit on something, I've seen you irrationally not back down on things before. And you're like, Evan, this doesn't make any sense anymore, but you've stuck in now. And I guess there's probably no better example than Andy from Toy Story.
No.
So that's thank you so much for those patrons who support us and wrote those things in. You can do that at patreon.com/2go1pod. Finally, before we go, I read out any 5-star reviews that come through during the week. We've just got one this week, and I think it looks like it's about last week's episode. It says, "Erica Fleury is my favorite," who was a guest on last week. That's pretty brutal to you two here today. But yeah. I mean, you hadn't been on before that point, Zoe. So maybe next week we'll get a new one. This is from Catherine, who writes, "This pod makes me beside myself. Speaking of which, you guys should do an episode on Karen J. Fowler's primate related novel, We Are All Completely Beside Ourselves. I can't afford a novel." It's really moving and made me empathize with primates even more. Plus, it would prove that your smartness/commitment to primates could rival Dave's smartness/commitment to book cheat by including a novel. You wouldn't have to read it. There's a great audio version. Very listenable. Okay, you got me round at the end. I'm a modern man. I listen to books.
I don't want to call one of your subscribers or
not a subscriber, no, just a reviewer. Out.
But I feel like the initial this podcast got me beside myself was just conveniently put
in.
I
think that was. It was when she said that, I'm like, oh, that's very nice. Oh, I see.
Slightly
it's been reverse engineered here.
Nothing wrong with that, but it just felt like
I needed thank you, Catherine. I'm saying Catherine, but Catherine, instead of a Y, it's a Z. So I don't know how to pronounce that otherwise. Oh.
Sorry, what?
What?
Catherine, how do you say that?
Oh, I never seen that.
No.
Is it C-A-T-H-R-Z-N.
Could possibly, is Z near Y on keyboard?
Could be a typo.
No. Unless she's got an A to Z type keyboard.
I've seen those exist.
Maybe it's some sort of a play on how I do chimpanzees. She's Catherine Zed, and that's not what it would be. Thank you so much, Catherine. I imagine how it's probably. Anyway, sorry for getting bogged down there, Catherine. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. Thanks so much for joining us. So, what do we think Jack did anyway? Do you reckon he killed that chicken?
100%.
Yeah. It's heavily implied, isn't it?
Yeah.
I definitely think he fucked a chicken.
That he's still...
On more than one occasion.
Yeah.
And possibly more than one chicken.
Yeah, definitely chicken fucker, possible murderer.
The end of the film does have him out of scene, out of sight, and getting taken down for the crime.
His, the love of his fucking life just appears out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Not wearing a suit. She's naked.
Oh, do you think she was... Oh, do you think she sold him out?
Should have gone to Pampered Poultry.
Where can people find you, Zoe?
I am on SansPants Radio. Shut up a second. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Zoe SansPants.
And Ferd?
I am on the internet on Instagram as Ferdflu and as on the Facebook as Ferdy Comedian. And I at the Comedy Festival, my show Faceplant Lobotomy is coming up. So please come to that, everybody.
Come to that, everyone. Oh, come to my show too.
Why go not? To Matt's show. Go
which
to Matt's show.
Monkey House.
Oh.
What time are you on?
9:10.
Oh, they can go to both. One's at 7. Victoria Hotel, we're about to...
I'm at the Vault, so basically Pilgrim down off Federation Wharf.
Both just in the CBD. Oh, yeah. So yeah. You can find out about those shows and all others at comedyfestival.com.au. And I'll if I get around to it, I'll link it in the show notes.
Sick.
Evan, people can find Gamey Game at gameygame.com.
Yep, or just go to YouTube and search for Gamey Game. This week's episode's really, really good, so go check that out. Very funny. It's got Xavier Michaelides and Ben Russell.
Boy. Very funny.
And, both of them. And Naomi Higgins.
All previous also guests funny. On this
great
show.
Great lineup.
People can find Primates at Primates Pod on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and at gmail.com. If you want to email, a thing that I don't check enough, but I'll try and check that email address sometime soon. And we always sign off with a rift. Guest does a rift Primates sign off. So if you two want to take it from there, I'll say thank you all for joining us so much. And as we always say here at Primates Podcast.
That's my riff.
This is fucking terrible.
Simian monkey love is to be respected and should be allowed in our society because change is the future.
That made as much sense as a Lynch film.
Fuck yeah, I am learning.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.